Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. If you're not normally here on a Sunday, but you're here because you've been to Holiday Bible Club all week, this is to be able to share with all of you some of what we've done. I think we've probably got about 12 or 15 children, which means you get at least 3 sweets each at the end. Hang on. Maybe four. We've got a variety of things. During the week, we've done all sorts of things. We've had a drama group, a music group, well, a group of musicians who have been absolutely brilliant. Yes, you have. People doing refreshments, people taking small groups of children and learning the scriptures and the stories. And therefore, rather than spoiling the flow later, give everybody who's helped this week an enormous thank you clap, and you can make noises as well. So we are doing a variety of things. A couple of the songs is what we would call an HBC song, then followed by a more normal Sunday song. You can decide which is which. But every day, particularly when it gets towards the end of the week, we sing the wake up song. So please stand, boys and girls, if you want to come out the front nearer to Emily and Naomi and follow what they're doing, that would be brilliant. Here we go.
Worship him now. How great our God!
If you don't normally come to church, you don't realise how much you miss out. The highlight of the week is the notices. Or the low light. Some things, and I've written them all down so I can remember. Just say in the notice sheet that we've got picnic lunches, not next week, but following 3 Sundays. You want to bring a picnic with you and your drums if you want. And share a picnic together. And again, after... collapsed. Oh, I shouldn't come, really, should I? Share a picnic after lunch. Could we run the thingy, whatever you call it, slides? The notices. Yeah. Next one. Ah, there you go. So, today we're all staying together, but next Sunday, something trying quite different, is that during the morning service there won't be provision for children because we're having tea time church at 4:30, which is where you bring food, we share together and have a time then. In the morning, if you have to come and your children insist that they really want to come, yay, we will leave 2 or 3 tables of activities out the back, but with the stress that they don't go out on their own, you need to go out with them, because they're your children, okay? Or send them with somebody else who can make them their children. So, no Sunday club next week, but tea time church, and then the midday picnics after that. Ali, you need this?
Morning, everybody. Lovely to see you all. Thought I'd save Martin the effort. I stood up here last week and talked about having a Quench bookshop pop-up shop at Cafe Mocha on the 8th of August. So I'm standing up here again to reiterate and hopefully make a bit more sense than I did last week, because I felt like last week I was like, not quite sure what I'm doing. This week I've surpassed myself in that I sent a notice to the church office about it, which I had thought I had proofread, but I hadn't read it carefully enough. So you may see at some point, in fact, I don't know whether it came up on the screen or not, that we, sorry? Okay. That we will be selling inspirational cards, gifts, without the T, books and Bibles for all occasions. Now, the person I sent it to said, what a good job, it was the T you left out and not the F. Obviously, I didn't really understand, and I wasn't sure whether I was allowed to say that there will be inspirational old at Cafe Mocha. There may well be some at Cafe Mocha on the 8th of August. But we're not selling them, just so you know, we're not selling them, it's gifts, okay? That's good. Books and Bibles for all occasions. Now, we're going to be there from 10:30 till 3:30. My plea to you is if you have friends in other churches, in Biggleswade, in Hitchin, in Letchworth, wherever, people you know who moan about the fact that there's no Christian bookshop in the area, will you please, please, please let them know I'll be there? Obviously, they won't have masses of stuff because it's only a small space and my car can't bring masses of stuff back to Biggleswade. But do please advertise it on our behalf, because wouldn't it be great to have a Christian bookshop back in this area? And this is just a one-off, it's a pop-up, but we're hoping it might become a bit more regular and maybe in time we might actually be able to have something permanent. So do please advertise. If you have any specific requests, if there's a book you've been meaning to buy, or you want some ideas for something for your children or your teenagers or whatever, or a gift for something, please come and talk to me afterwards and I'll make sure I have it with me. If you're thinking, actually, I'd really like a new Bible, mine's falling apart, I've got the NIV, which is the version we use here, Bible catalogue. I've got a couple of copies of these, so if you want to have a browse through that, have a look, see if there's one there that you like the look of, maybe a study Bible or a journaling Bible or something. And again, let me know, and I will endeavour to have it here for you, sorry, at Mocha for you on the 8th. Thank you.
As opposed
to. Did you say I win a prize?
Yeah, but on the lid, not the tin.
Oh, why? The lid's
on... been on the floor.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
Excellent.
Going to pray now. included in it is a prayer for Stephen and Sarah. Stephen's the pilot guy, and their little one, and I'm struggling to pronounce it right. I think it's Amalia. Amalie. Amalie, because they know. But she's needed to be taken to hospital, currently being checked over. I don't know the details, etc. So that's who we're talking about to God when we pray just now. Father God, want to thank you for the week we've had with over 200 children singing about you, hearing about you. Really, hopefully, Lord, learning about you, and for the 45, 50 volunteers who've given their time this week to serve you. We just pray for your hand to be on everyone, and we pray in particular for the words and the sheets and the books and the craft items that have gone home that will remind them of the truth that we've been sharing together. So, Father, we pray for all those children. And all those families, that they will really know you with them. And Father, we thank you that even though we've had a great time here, there's so many parts of the world we know where people are struggling, and we pray for your people as they minister and share. And weeks on after the earthquake in Venezuela, those who are from your people helping and serving and rescuing others. And Father, thank you for Stephen and Sarah and Amalia, and we just pray that as they're at hospital right now, they'll know your presence with them, they'll know your hands holding them, and know your love overwhelming all that goes on there today. And Father, as we move into a summer period with people away on holiday, people not on holiday and maybe feeling they wish they were. Time when people can find it harder being on their own, Lord, we pray together that you would use us to continue to share your love and to be your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So I think most of you know that we've quite a few different songs that we sing at Holiday Club. The next one, if you're going to join in with the actions, you need a partner, because it's God Can Do Anything. Do stand even if you're not slapping the person next to you randomly. But do stand, copy this. Excuse me, oh, they're down there. Emily didn't mean to kick the sweets over. I don't think it was a ploy to have all those in the lid, was it? But we'll give them to you.
At least she didn't fall over.
I was not going to mention that. Right, so let's sing God Can Do Anything.
Put it.
Gareth, stand up. Don't sit down. Actually, that reminds me, at one part in the story this week, I was doing a sort of Simon Says about obeying and whatnot. I won every time. Here we go, God's love. One of the highlights of the week, and it's always right at the end of the morning, and they have such a hard job, but they do get heard. Welcome to Bert and Lucy.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Oh, wow. You lot look a lot older than you did on Friday. Lucy, come and see what's happened, Lucy.
Oh, okay, Bert. Where's the fire? Oh, hello, everyone. Now, what is the problem, Bert?
Well, Lucy, it's just that everyone looks a lot older than they did on Friday.
Oh, Bert, don't be so silly. These are the mums and dads, are the older people here today. They want to see what Holiday Bible Club lot have been up to this week. If you look carefully, you can see some of the kids, look.
Oh, can you, Lucy? Oh, yes, you're right. Phew, that's a relief. I thought they'd changed over the last couple of days. Or that I'd slept for a very long time or something.
Oh, ha, ha, Bert. You were very tired on Friday, though, weren't you? After all that gardening you did. Probably not quite that tired, though, Bert.
Definitely not. There was someone once who slept for 100 years, wasn't there, Lucy? Who was that?
Oh, you're probably thinking of Sleeping Beauty, Bert. But that's a fairy tale, not a true story. You don't need to worry, Bert. It's not going to happen to you.
Phew, that's a relief, Lucy. I do like stories, though, don't you, Lucy?
Yeah.
Have you been listening to all the stories at Holiday Bible Club this week?
Mm-hmm.
About Jonah running away from God?
Yes, I have, Bert. I really liked the bit where there was that huge storm and then Jonah got thrown overboard.
Oh, yes, Lucy. And then he... he got swallowed by a huge fish.
Oh, I don't expect it was very funny for Jonah, though, Bert. 3 days inside a fish, all smelly and slimy, and then being puked up on the beach. It must have been awful. Poor Jonah.
Oh, but Lucy, I mean, it's just a story. For a moment there, I thought you sounded like you believed it. But it's just like Sleeping Beauty and stuff like that, isn't it? After all, whoever heard of being swallowed by a fish? I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it, Lucy?
Well, no, Bert. I do believe it, actually, because it's a true story.
A true story, Lucy? A true story? Surely not.
Well, yes, Bert, of course it is. It's in the Bible, for one thing. And haven't you been listening at all this week, Bert?
Oh, well, some of the time, Lucy. But sometimes it gets a bit hot in here. And I have a little doze.
Oh, I see, Bert. Well, you want to be careful doing that. 100 years and all that, Bert. Oh, I'm only joking.
I hope so, Lucy. So, what was it you were going to tell me?
Just that, Bert. I stay awake all the time. And I have learnt so much.
Really, Lucy? From a story? even if it is true.
Well, yes, Bert, about God, about forgiveness, and lots of other stuff that's really important for people.
Oh, well, that does sound interesting, Lucy. OK, then, no more dozing for me. I'm going to try to stay awake for the whole time and listen to everything.
Are you really, Bert? Oh, I could help you if you like.
How do you mean help, Lucy?
Well, Bert, you know, I could pinch you and I could prod you.
Ow!
You know, if you doze
no,
off.
No, I don't like the sound of that, Lucy. Don't worry, I will stay awake.
And by the end of the morning, Bert, you will be a much wiser puppet, and so will I.
Oh, well, I guess we'd better let them get on with it then, hadn't we, Lucy?
Yep. Let's do that, Bert. Bye, everyone. Bye. See you next year.
Now, don't forget to listen carefully, and grown-ups, no dozing off. Bye-bye. See you next year.
Okay, so we're going to take a few minutes, and the routine is this. Ellen is going to tell us something about each day. If there's any children here, you're going to show people how you can remember all the memory verses. And then we're going to sing a song that has been created to help us remember the verses. But before that, I need a few children to come and grab hold of one of these. Quick, you need two people, one on each. Go and right over there, spread it out. Yep, there you go. Oh, can I be in the middle of you two? Oh, there's another one, good. Do you want to take this one? All right, Katie, you have that one? Yeah, can you help here? Yep, hold them nice and high. Sorry, Mark. Who likes drinking coffee after the service? You're going to have to say one of these before you get your coffee. Okay? So these were in the year 4-5 tent, plastered all over the wall. What we'll do is have them in the back hall. Can you just run out to the back hall and leave them out there and come straight back? Go with them, Cliff, please. Right, take it through. Off you go. Then come back. That was a mistake, because I've got to wait for them to come back now. If Kevin goes out, they'll be scared, so... So we've been doing the story of Jonah. And, you know, there are some parts of it that are quite difficult. Some parts that you really need to think about and wonder. If there's parts of the story of Jonah that you really think, I'd like to ask somebody about that. Our small group have done 6 weeks on Jonah. Now, Heather and I are busy, Venice and Kevin are busy, so you can ask Ange and Rob any difficult questions about Jonah at the end. Oh, mind you, they missed a week, so maybe it could be that week. Right, boys and girls, are you ready? If you want to come and sit down here, if you're going to try to earn a few sweets with memory verses, come and sit down here, and at the right time we'll dance about, and then I'll get you to do them. Mind your toes and fingers. Over to Ellen.
You know, we've been looking at the story of Jonah. So every day we looked at a bit more of what happened in Jonah's story. So I'm going to tell you about Jonah, and then Mike's going to do the memory verse, and then Martin is going to be telling us something about that
verse. 2 minutes, 57 seconds.
He's got 3 minutes to tell us about that verse. You can time him if you want. Okay. So day one, and God spoke to Jonah. Go to the city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me. But Jonah, what did he say?
No.
That's right. But Jonah ran away. He ran to the port of Joppa and he boarded a boat to Tarshish, which is Spain. It's in the opposite direction.
Okay, if you want to say the memory verse, do stand up. And I've got one person who is really keen on saying what we learnt on Monday. Can you remember it? Off you go.
If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. John 15, verse 10.
This is the song that we've created to help us learn. You can watch the dancers. Do join in with the words if you want to, but I suggest you sit down, you'll see better. And we might not have anybody collapsing or anything. Okay, here we go. Sit down on the floor.
So our story begins with Jonah doing something shocking and then something silly. The shocking thing is he said no to God because he didn't like what God was asking him to do. And the silly thing is that he then tried to run away from God. Something that is, well, actually, it's impossible. And that first memory verse reminds us that if we love God, we'll want to do what he commands or tells us to do. But if we're honest, we can be a little bit like Jonah sometimes, can't we? If God asks us to do something we don't want to do. We can argue with God and try and convince ourselves that he doesn't really want us to do that thing. And we can look for something else we can do that we would be happy with. Jonah said no because he didn't like the people of Nineveh, who were evil and cruel. He just wanted to see them punished. But God doesn't actually want anyone to be punished. That's why he sent Jesus to stand in our place and take our punishment for us so that we could know God's love and forgiveness. And that's why he sent Jonah to Nineveh as well. And isn't it great that Jesus didn't and doesn't look at us like we look at other people? Isn't it great that Jesus said yes to God? Romans 5 tells us it was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. God's love is available to us all through Jesus. And when we receive it, we'll want to remain in it. And we do that by living lives following what he says, not to get him to love us, but because he already loves us. He sent Jonah to Nineveh because even though they were evil, he still loved them. He sent Jesus to us for exactly the same reason. Thank God Jesus said yes. Question: is God calling you to do something or to say something to someone that you don't want to do? Don't be like Jonah. Be like Jesus. It might just change your life. How long was that?
2 minutes. Yeah.
How long?
2 minutes, 8 seconds.
Yes! I want to say I told you, but I told you.
Great, day two. So, Jonah is on the boat, and God sends a great wind that causes a big storm, and the ship is going to break up. Everyone is afraid, and they throw the cargo over the side. Jonah is in the boat sleeping, and the captain goes down to say, wake up. They want to find out whose fault it is, and they draw lots, cast lots, and it falls to Jonah. And Jonah explains, I worship God, the one who made the whole world, the sea, the sky, the earth. And the crew, oh sorry, and it's my fault because I'm running away from him, Jonah says. He tells the crew to throw him overboard, and the crew say,
no.
That's right, they don't want to, because they don't want to be responsible for throwing Jonah overside, but Jonah says you have to. So they do. One, two, three. They throw him overboard, and the sea goes calm. And it says the crew feared God, they repented, and they made vows to God.
So who's got the second day memory verse? Can you try it all together? Yeah, come on, stand up then. Somebody tell me what it starts with. This, do you remember? This, all right, go.
This is how we know what love is like. Jesus Christ gave his life for us.
1 John
3:16.
Anybody want to do it on their own now?
This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ gave his life for us. 1 John 3:16.
Excellent. Let's sing. No second. Come on, quick. He can start without you and he'll have to have 3 minutes 38 seconds. That's it. Make yourselves comfy.
Why did Jesus give his life for us? Because God loves us, yes. But also because when we disobey God or we do something wrong, or when we hurt someone else, there will always be consequences. And we see this in our daily lives, don't we? If we break the rules at school, we get into trouble. If we ignore our parents, they'll tell us off. So we shouldn't be surprised that if we disobey God, the same sort of thing will happen. Jonah's disobedience led to his ship being caught up in a storm and everyone being afraid for their lives. What he did affected lots of other people who had no idea what was going on. And ultimately it resulted in him being thrown overboard to save everyone else from God's punishment. And it's funny how today we don't like to think about God punishing people for their disobedience and their sin. But our disobedience puts up a wall between us and him, spoiling our relationship with him and putting us in danger. And although Jesus never did anything wrong, never said no to God, and never tried to run away from him, he died on the cross, giving his life in order to save everyone else's. Jesus suffered the consequences of our sin so that we don't have to. And that's love, isn't it? Stepping in to protect the loved one, or to save the loved one, or to take the blame for the loved one so they don't end up hurt or punished. During the week, we talked about another book from John, his gospel, and another 3:16, which says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The sailors hoped that throwing Jonah overboard would save them. We know that Jesus dying on the cross for us saves us. Only someone who'd never done anything wrong could cover the wrong we have done. And we can be sure of God's love for us because of Jesus.
Thank you. So we're on to day 3, and Jonah is in the sea. And we all know that Jonah got swallowed by a huge fish. So Jonah's in the belly of the whale. Fish. It's a big fish. Year 1 kept correcting me. They're like, no, it's a big fish. So Jonah's in the belly of the fish. And he has got time to think. He's there for 3 days and 3 nights. And he starts talking to God. and he repents and changes his mind and asks God to save him.
So who's got the verse? Any one person? Give them the first word, everybody. Jesus. Jesus, remember what? Do you think you know it? Thea might know it.
Jesus said.
I can't remember. Help her out. Go on, Jesus, together.
Jesus said, I will be put to death, but 3 days later I will be raised to life.
Matthew 16, verse 21. Well done.
Now this bit is really important. If Jesus had simply died and stayed dead, there'd be no hope for us, no forgiveness, no dealing with our sins, and no chance of a relationship with God. But because he rose from the dead on that third day, we can know beyond doubt that what he promises us is true. Because he has literally beaten death and shown that life can carry on if we put our faith and trust in him. And just as Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish working out where he'd gone wrong and reconnecting with God, Jesus spent 3 days in the grave putting everything right before rising again. They both defeated death, although Jonah would die again later. Jesus, however, is still alive today. He has risen from the dead. And as I said, that's what makes a difference. A dead Jesus is not a saviour, just a failed teacher or prophet. A living Jesus is saviour and Lord, someone to be worshipped, trusted and followed for the rest of this life and on into the next. But we need to make the choice to follow him ourselves. Jonah had to realise what he'd done wrong and repent or say sorry to God before the fish literally threw him up onto dry land. And when we hear what Jesus has done for us, we too are challenged to repent of what we've done wrong, say sorry to God, turn away from our sins and choose to follow Jesus. Once we do that, our lives are changed. Just as Jonah got a second chance to obey God, we get a second chance too. And once again, our lives change, not so we can get God to love us, but because we realize that he already loves us and has shown us that love in Jesus. His love is for everyone, but we need to make it personal to ourselves by repenting. Have you done that? Do you need to do it today?
Okay, we're up to day 4. And as you might have heard, Jonah is vomited out by the fish. And God speaks to him again. Jonah, go to Nineveh and proclaim the message I give you. And this time, Jonah says,
yes.
Thank you. Jonah says, yes. Okay. And off he goes. And he spends 3 days walking across Nineveh. That's how big a place it was. And he tells them, you've got 40 days to repent before God destroys you. And they believed. And they repented. And they put on sackcloth and ashes. That's a way of showing that they were repenting. And even the king heard the news, and he sent out a declaration saying to everybody, fast, stop eating, humble yourselves, and turn from your wicked ways. And God will hopefully relent.
So getting to Thursday, it's getting harder and harder for you to remember everything, isn't it? Could we have the... There we go. Up you get, boys and girls. You got a bit of help. You got a bit of help. Okay? You ready? Turn around. All together. Could you blank that, please? All right, grown-ups, off you go.
The person who is put right with God by faith shall live.
Should we do it again? Yeah, we'll do it again. Okay, off you go.
The person who is put right with God by faith shall live. Romans 1, verse 17.
Now the grown-ups.
The person who is put right with God by faith shall live. Romans 1, verse 17.
Okay, let's sing.
Lots of people think that if we work hard, do lots of good things, treat people well and don't break too many laws, God will accept us. But the truth is that nothing we do can get God to love us. He loves us already, but our sin and our disobedience stop us receiving that love. And nothing we can do in our own strength will get him to accept us. No matter how hard we try, we will always fall short of God's standards. And if we miss God's standards, we miss out on his love. But as I hope you've worked out already, because God loves us so much, he doesn't leave things up to us. He sent Jesus, his perfect, sinless son, to meet his standards on our behalf. And God says that if we put our faith in Jesus, if we believe in him, if we trust him and accept what he did for us, then we will live, truly live, in this life and on into the next. We can't work to get God to love us because the Bible says that he loved us completely before any of us was born. And there's nothing we can do to change that. And saving faith says, I believe that. I also believe that my disobedience put up a wall between me and God that separates me from his love. It's a wall I can never break down, but Jesus has broken it down for me through his death and resurrection. So I choose to believe in Jesus and know that because of that, I will live. Jonah came with a message about repentance, and so did Jesus. But Jesus didn't just preach the message, he was the message. He makes that clear in so many places in the Bible, but one of my favourites is found in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6, where he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Only through Jesus, through faith that is made possible because of God's amazing grace and mercy for us. John 3:17, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So being saved means being rescued from our wrongdoing by Jesus, accepted as a child of God because of Jesus, and living in the power and strength of God in Jesus' name. We repent of our sin and we receive forgiveness by faith through God's love and mercy. Have you done that? Because you need to.
So it's day 5, and Jonah, having done the job, goes outside the city to sit down and to wait. But nothing happens, and Jonah is angry. He thinks God should not be showing grace and mercy to these evil people of Nineveh. And he says, God, I knew you were gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, I shouldn't have come. But God challenges Jonah's attitude. And God does this by producing a leafy plant that gives Jonah shade. And Jonah's really happy. He really likes that plant. But then the next day, a worm comes along and it eats the plant. It chews it up and it withers. And Jonah is really angry, angry with God. Why did you let my plant die? God says, you've been concerned about a little plant that grew up overnight. You didn't tend or water it. Why should I not be concerned about 120,000 people who live in Nineveh who didn't even know wrong from right?
So, yes, by the time we got to Friday, it got really difficult to remember the verse, didn't it? So let's look up there. Up you get. And up here. So what we normally do when it's two colours like this is... can I get in the middle? It's funny, it's like a magnetic sweet down here. Move over a bit. There you go. So, keep going. This is the middle.
You can go first, the right words. You can go second.
So, yeah, you're, all right.
They're following you, okay?
And you're going first. You ready? All together?
By the free gift of
God's grace, all are... through Jesus Christ,
who sets them free.
Romans,
okay, you're going first.
By the free gift of put right with him, who sets them free. 3:24.
If we'd like that, all together.
By the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him, through Jesus Christ, who sets them free.
Romans
3:24.
Excellent. Song.
So, God's grace. God's grace means we receive what we don't deserve. And God's mercy means we don't receive what we do deserve. While Jonah eventually went to Nineveh to preach God's word about their need to repent, he clearly still hoped that God would punish them. And in fact, got pretty cheesed off when it became clear that wasn't going to happen because of how they responded. I wonder if we can relate to that. We see someone who's done something bad, maybe even something to us, and we really hope they're going to be punished for it. And we get cross when they're forgiven or let off, even though if we were in their position, we would want to be let off. God's not like that. When we come to him and say sorry, when we turn away from what we've been doing wrong because of what Jesus did, he forgives us and chooses to forget what it is that we have done. God doesn't hold our broken promises and failures against us. If only people could be more like that. From before the beginning, God has not wanted anyone to be punished. In his love and his grace and his mercy, he wants everyone to be saved. So while we deserve punishment, he makes it possible because of Jesus to receive forgiveness instead. And once we've received that forgiveness, God calls us to exercise grace and mercy to others, just as he has exercised them to us. And if we did, marriages, families, communities, nations, even the world would be a much better place. So we have a choice to make today. Well, a few choices, I guess. First of all, do I believe what the Bible tells me about Jesus or not? Secondly, am I ready and willing to repent for what I've done wrong, or am I not prepared to take responsibility for myself? Thirdly, am I ready to receive God's forgiveness in and through Jesus, or am I still trying to do it myself? Fourthly, if I belong to God through faith in Jesus, will I obey him or say no to him? And lastly, unlike Jonah, can I show God's grace to others just as God has shown his grace to me? Mike.
Thank you.
And I believe each of those was under 3 minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So in total, it was 13 minutes, 12 seconds. Is that about right?
Do I get a sweet?
Take that over there, Elise, and let him choose two, but come straight back. Sorry, too slow. Thank you. What we're going to do next, you keep holding them a minute. What we're going to do next is sing the story song. So each day, we've got a verse and a chorus. I'll invite you to stand up, not so that you have to run all the time, but just so that as you get the tune, you can join in and you can sing Run Jonah, Run Jonah. Okay.
This job's just not fair.
So there's way more songs and we haven't got time to sing them all, but you probably could stand up if you want to. We're going to sing probably one of their favourites, Hokey Dokey. You can copy their actions, but when it says two to the left, you might want to stand still because you might bump into somebody next to you. Or you might just like to check who's next to you first. Here we go. Let's stand and sing it together. It's a funny book in that often a book has an ending. Now, John Ingray has said many times when he's been out the front, I like to read the end of the story first because I don't like to be upset if it's a nasty ending. Sort of wouldn't help with the Book of Jonah because it sort of finishes. We don't know a lot else of what goes on. The Ninevites have repented, they've turned to God. So Heather thought she would be creative and write a little bit of what might have happened next. So we've got a little bunch of people doing a drama reading. It's your turn now.
Have you ever wondered what happened after the Book of Jonah finished? We leave him sitting on a hilltop looking over Nineveh, burning with outrage that God had brought him here, commanded him to preach repentance and judgment to the Ninevites, and then forgiven them for their sins. He's also very upset that the tree that God caused to spring up very conveniently to shelter him from the sun has unaccountably been destroyed by a maggot. This is too much for Jonah, and he cannot cope with this pointless destruction of a tree. Understandably, God confronts Jonah with the inconsistency of his behaviour, not to mention his lack of compassion. So exhausted and confused, Jonah falls fast asleep in the baking sun. Let's imagine that God found a way to challenge him.
I can't believe it. My mum let us come outside the walls to play.
Mine too. It's unbelievable. We've always had to play inside the walls before, and it's so noisy and boring.
Everything's changed though, hasn't it? I've always wanted to come and play on this hill.
Me too. You get a great view of the city from here, don't you?
Yeah, and doesn't it look so peaceful? In fact, doesn't it sound peaceful? Everything's so different now since
the prophet came.
and here he is.
Is he dead? He looks it.
Why don't you poke him and see?
Why don't you? It was your idea.
Yeah, go on. Though, he really does look dead.
Oh, okay. Here it goes.
Am I alive? Oh, yes, that hurt. Have you destroyed Nineveh then, God? Like you said you would. They deserve it after all. They're all nasty sinners. No, still there. How could you do this, God? How are you so loving? How are you so forgiving? You've even left me alive. It's so hot and I'm so thirsty.
Poor man, he's probably got a sunstroke. We need to get him some water. Anybody got some?
Here, take mine.
Who are you?
We're some children from Nineveh.
We only came out to play on the hill.
And we saw you lying here. We thought you were dead.
You've got sunstroke. Here, drink some of this water.
Let me mop your face. You've been lying in the hot sun for ages. You poor thing. You must have been delirious. You are talking about wanting the city to be destroyed.
Which is a bit odd. You came to Nineveh to tell us to repent, or we would be destroyed.
But we did repent, everyone did, and now everything's different. Everyone's different.
So why do you want Nineveh to be destroyed?
That means us. You want us all to die, do you? Do you, Mr. Jonah?
No, I just meant I wouldn't have dreamt of... Oh, no.
Now do you get it, Jonah? You can't look at those children and want them to die. And you don't even know them. I made all of them. I know their names. I knew them before they were born. I love them as myself. Those children showed you love and compassion. You need to have a good long look at yourself, Jonah.
Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I behaved like that after you forgave me. Will you forgive me? How can you forgive me?
Of course he will, Mr. Jonah.
He forgave Nineveh, didn't he?
And that's a lot of people.
So he's definitely going to forgive you.
Yeah, cheer up, Mr. Jonah.
Oh, thank you, dear children. Thank you. How can I ever repay you? You've made me think about things I never thought about before.
There is something you can do, Mr. Jonah. Isn't there, everyone?
Yes, there is.
Anything, name it.
Tell us a story, Mr. Jonah.
Ah, a story, I can do that. I can tell the story of how I came here. Those stormy seas being thrown overboard, a giant fish. Will that do?
Yes. Wow, yes, please.
Okay, once upon a time.
Poor Charlotte, she hasn't had any the whole service.
Aww.
Charlotte, we have a deal. You can give them out after you've had at least 19 or something, yes. So, we've been thinking about this such a lot. We want two songs to finish off. One that sort of picks up the whole idea and being forgiven by God. It wasn't, was it 120,000 you said? It wasn't 120,000. It was It will take us a long time to go 1, 2, 3, 4, till we get to 120,000. But God loves, knows, cares about, and wants each individual to turn to him and to be saved. So that's the story of Jonah. That was the imagination bit at the end, that the children felt so safe to be out there. It probably won't become Jonah chapter 5, but I hope it really gave us the point. And we've chosen the goodness of God as the song to sing because it's that sort of journey. All the way through it just didn't look like it, but actually it was God in his goodness there with Jonah all the time and there with the people of Nineveh at the end. So we're going to sing two songs. You might be guessing what the last one is, but let's go with Goodness of God just now. And we're going to finish because we know that faithfulness we know God with us, we've got to let our light shine. This week, help us to run with you, not to run away from you. Help us to go in your direction, not our direction, and help us right now to know you as our Lord, Saviour, and friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We usually have a bit of space over here if anybody wants some prayer, but we also have tea and coffee through there, so we'll let your light shine as you go off and get your coffee. Oh, no, we're not. Oh, we're hey diddling diddling on the way outing.